put him in.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, I don't know where Doug's gone off mic, but he's welcome to come back. He's coming back. Elvis is coming back to the building. now, Don,
I give a shout out?
Well, we'll hurry up because we've got to do them.
Catherine Thorpe. Now, she didn't mind me putting a surname in, but she approached me.
In relation to Lydia?
Mm.
That's it. I should have asked her that. You're very quick.
Or David.
I'm not as quick as you. No wonder you're a good full forward. Yeah, no, I don't know. I should have asked her, but she is going off to Greece.
Well, is she Indigenous?
Don't know, but she and her husband are off to Greece. They're sick of Victoria. They listen to their podcast. It's the only thing that got her through COVID, she told me. But they're both... COVID has had an adverse effect upon their businesses. He's in demolition. She had a beauty therapy business. And she's a casualty, and so they're off to Greece. They're sick of Victoria. So a shout-out to Catherine. I hope she can pick this up when she goes to Greece.
Just on that, Don, this is just by way of getting rid of one of the topics I was going to say. No wonder she's left Victoria or Australia, because the Victorian Treasurer said that Victoria was the lowest taxing state in the nation. That is an absolute lie. The Andrews government, again, spinning out things that are untrue. These are the figures. New South, this is per head of population. $4,707 per head at taxation in New South Wales. $4,115 in Western Australia. $3,667 per head of population in Queensland. $2,970 in South Australia. $2,900 in Tasmania, and Victoria, 5,073, thereby far the largest taxing state in the country, as opposed to the government saying they're the lowest. Just another lie.
Exactly.
Any more shout-outs? I've got 100 of them, and we need to do them quickly, because we're going to speak to a man from the United Kingdom who's on about the COVID vaccines. Very interesting man, we think.
Now, I didn't get to talk to Ricky, but do you think he's going to have a welcome to country? At his birthday party?
I'm sure he won't be having a welcome to country.
I could do it.
Pardon?
I could do it.
Well, that's right.
Well, that's my country down there, down Bay Street.
It is, Ivan, and you wouldn't ask for a fee, unlike...
how do you know?
Well, he might ask for a fee.
You just don't know what Ivan's up to.
We have a mutual friend, Sam, who was supposed to compare a reunion I had, and... He had to say they're welcome to country, and he refused. He said, "I'm not going to." And they had to get somebody else.
Yep, that's we've got to have people push back on it, because it's not disparaging to the people, not to Aboriginal people, but it is just a rort. Mm. There's no need for it. It just singles out white against black, and we are one nation, and we don't have to be reminded that we're not. If you want to have unity, get rid of all that nonsense. There's no point to it. It's just ingratiating the Indigenous community to make money for no reason. No reason. You doing the shout-outs quickly? Jacinta? No, Janita.
Janita
and Wendy from Lake Wendaree. I was up at a function up there in Lake Wendaree.
Ballarat.
And they,
is that where you took the COVID virus?
That's I didn't have COVID.
Well, I rang you up and told you.
That's right. I'm at the function. You said, I've got COVID. I said, it's a bit late now. I'm at the function.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you just get up and walk out instead of infecting everyone?
Because I haven't got COVID. I have not had COVID and you didn't give it to me because I haven't got it. And then we've got Ryan Andrew. This is from MichaelChristianMenswear.com, whose hats are going...
Has he taken up the bum off his...
MichaelChristianMenswear.com, up your ass. We put up your bum in, and people typed in up your bum. And he said, mate, we're getting all these things sent back to us in junk mail because my email is not MichaelChristianMenswear.com, up your bum. It's just Michael Christian. He did. People saying up your bum.
Are you glad you come in, Doug?
So Ryan Andrew from Ryan Andrew. His name's Ryan Andrew Fox, his name is, and he's from New Zealand. And he said he gets Michael Christian said he gets a lot of shit about being from New Zealand, you know, all the sheep jokes.
Yeah.
Incidentally, someone told me that the farmers in New Zealand these days are wearing kilts, Doug, because the sheep have got used to the sound of zippers. I'm not sure if that's true. What are you doing, Doug? Don? Don, you
pull. Are we still recording?
Oh, no. What did you pull out then?
What did I put back in?
Oh, no.
Jesus. So we had the boys here doing the audio, visual audio here. They are Jonathan, Rob and Bjorn. They're from Bang & Olufsen, Premium Sound. They're trying to crank up the...
First TV I've ever had. I ever had was
B&O.
Yeah.
Bang & Olufsen, yeah. And Gavin, who's the major technician, he's got the thing working. That's it there. You can't see it because it's not a visual medium, this audio thing on...
So why have we got it? Or you got it?
To entertain you, Don,
You've got new couches too?
I haven't got new couches. I've taken them in for next door. I'm storing them for someone. The Mayor of Mansfield listens. He didn't want to be known as the Mayor of Mansfield.
Is this the lady?
I'm sorry I've mentioned that. He's not the Mayor of Mansfield. His name's James Tehan. Tehan, T-E-H-A-N, Tehan. And I think he's the Lady Mayoress. I shouldn't have said that because...
Tehan Coffee?
Beautifully said, nice. Doug. James Tehan Coffee. And his wife.
So what did you two do in business? Did you just sit opposite one another and just give your feed one-liners?
We did, yeah.
So Sarah is the mayoress, and James Tehan, who didn't want to be known as the mayor in case he gets ripped the shit out of him by people saying, you don't listen to that crap, do you? So he's not the mayor, he is really. James Tehan and Sarah. So shout out to them.
Where did you meet him?
This is Mick Christian's. No, I didn't meet him. Someone told me that the mayor listens to this. And the doc Fordham,
up in
MD, He won't be with us for the next couple of weeks because he's on furlough. He's gone overseas on a junket with his missus, Jody.
A junket?
Well, he's gone on a holiday. So
it would be a junket.
He'd be paid for, I reckon, by the company, by the station.
That's a stretch, isn't it?
Hmm? What's that?
Furlough.
What's that, Doug?
It's a stretch. Down the lane.
Yeah, come on, Johnny. That's a racing thing. Come on,
quick. Yeah, is that eight furlongs?
Did a lot of this stuff go over his head when you used to fire it at him, Doug?
Yeah, that was 8 furlongs. Is a mile, isn't it?
Yeah, but
is it?
Oh, God, you're thick.
Yeah, I'm not thick.
Thick as a brick.
And you just mentioned Lydia Thorpe, who accused one of the senators of sexual harassment and then withdrew the charge. Mm. If you ever want a better reason
why... No, she didn't withdraw the charge.
Yes, she did.
No, I didn't think she wanted to take it any further.
Oh, well...
She said it under parliamentary privilege.
And then wouldn't say it out in the open.
I understand that.
Well, Don, if you ever want a better reason why you shouldn't vote for The Voice...
But there were two other ladies came forward as well.
If you ever want a better reason why you shouldn't vote for The Voice, that person there, Lydia Thorpe,
no,
would
she's
be
she's against The Voice.
Lydia Thorpe?
She is against The Voice.
She's saying no now. Yeah.
Yes.
Because
always
of what?
Has.
I don't know.
No, she
always
hasn't.
Has.
No, the Jacinta Price has always been against it.
And so has Lydia Thorpe, because the interesting thing is they both sit beside one another, Pauline Hanson, Lydia Thorpe, in Parliament, and they're both opposed. Yet they're both opposed on their various political views too.
All right.
They are both opposed to the Voice.
Well, should I apologise to Lydia?
I think you should.
Because I said that she was for The Voice.
Yeah, she's against.
Well, that's one of the more smarter things that she's done, is oppose it. Can I tell you this? An archaeologist. Geez, how do you say that word? Archaeologists in Spain have discovered, wait for this, Don, a 6-inch stone penis. It was used to sharpen weapons 500 years ago. Now,
It's hard to
come to grips with, Doug. How would you determine, unless it was attached to the mummy's torso, how would you determine that it's not just an old bit of pipe lying around? Exactly. How would you determine that it's a penis? Would it have been circumcised? Would it? How would you know if it's
a... No, they've not. It wouldn't be circumcised.
And which brings you the question, Jesus, how hard would it? Would you have to get, Don, before you could sharpen instruments on it?
Do you know the average size of a penis is about 13.58 centimetres?
Which is what?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Six inches.
I don't. Well, that's the average length.
Well, what's 13?
The longest one.
Ivan's looking it up.
The longest one is 17.61 centimetres, and that's carried by men in Ecuador. So in Ecuador, they're very, very well hung. Did you realise that?
I didn't, but how long's the average?
5.3
inches.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that we qualify. I couldn't comment on you, Doug, because it's a long time since I've seen you in Australian the communal showers at the club, but I'm not sure that I could probably... I wonder if I'm over the average. Just let me check.
I'm down to number 15, and in Australia we don't even rate. We've got men from Ecuador, Cameroon, Bolivia. Gee, they must be well hung in South America. Egypt, number 14. Angola, France, number 11. The Dutch are number 9.
Could I... Are they, Don? The Dutch.
The Dutch. They're right up there.
Hmm. Well, anyhow, they've found a stone penis which was used to say that word, Ivan.
Archaeologists.
What about this for the irony of all ironies? Now, listen to this: a council in the inner suburbs, which is predominantly a Muslim-controlled council. Wait for this, Don. In this day of inclusion and diversity and equity, have banned rainbow flags flying from public buildings, banned LGBTQ flags and everything, and they can't fly them on anything to do with the council. That'll get the LGBTQ plus 2 spirit people up in arms.
Whereabouts?
It's either Coburg or Moreland or one of the...
It's here.
One of the Muslim-controlled councils.
Oh, here
they have banned because they're not into... homosexuality is legal in some countries, punishable by death, Don. Did you know that?
Hang on, so you're saying the Moreland council...
I'm saying... They didn't say which council it was, but the Muslim-controlled council, and I thought it was Moreland, wasn't it?
No, that's Hipsterville out there.
Okay, which would be a Muslim-controlled council?
Broadmeadows? Somewhere in the...
Tuggeranini.
Oh, I don't know, in the western suburbs somewhere, wouldn't it? Well, I don't know.
Anyhow, if you know a Muslim councillor, don't try and hang your flag up on any of their buildings, because you'll be belted to with a tape measure, belted to within an inch of your life. So that's happening there. Gay pride marches are out and or not on the public streets, and the flags, you can't fly above the buildings. Any topics, Don?
I was watching the cricket. I don't know if you boys watch the cricket, but they've got a new term called bazball, where they're going against convention in field settings and whatever else. And the other night I saw a field setting, Australia, England at Edgbaston, where it was a banana shape. Now, not banana, I'm sorry, an umbrella shape. And the shape was a semicircle around the bowler.
Around
the bowler. So you can visualise the batsman was Khawaja, the bit I saw, and he's batting his left hand. So he's got the offside field and also the onside field ringed in a semicircle in front of him. And I started to think, well, why do we always accept, convention? The convention is you have slips and whatever else. So I take my hat off to the English because they're, why do you have to do that? And Joe Root came in, first ball, and... hooked it, we're not told to do that. First ball, he's kind of lifted it over his head.
Over
and
the banana over, city.
And then there was the other guy came in and hit a four off of Cummings off the first ball. So it got me thinking.
What to get you thinking, Don? Well, how you confuse banana with umbrella?
I was thinking about eating a banana.
Oh,
eating a banana. I know you're not into fruit, but why do you always have to peel a banana? Why couldn't you just break it in half and then push the both ends of it so it kind of pops out?
I'm glad Dennis is here to hear this. This is Dennis has always been intrigued as to where you get some of your statements and ideas from, Don.
But what you're I'm doing is in full bloom today, Dennis.
Why do you have to ever peel a banana?
No,
to
eat but the I'm just thing? Why do you have to do?
Because you can't break a banana.
Yes, you can. You snap it off and then you push it from the both ends, and as it comes up, you just eat a bit off. Why do you have to peel a banana?
Because you've got two bits of banana in two hands. You just want to have it in one, surely.
Why couldn't you just take the top off the banana and push it from the bottom?
I've got a feeling you've taken the top off things far too often, Don, to come up with that ridiculous analogy. Yeah, Don sits at home on his...
I was sitting there. I've had COVID for the past week, Doug, and I was watching the cricket and my mind started to wander.
Yeah, and you thought they had a banana field. What you meant was,
well, no,
why
there was
they
a semicircular field.
Which is a banana?
I'm thinking about convention. Why do we always have to do the way...
Why do we always have to peel bananas? Why can't we just break them in half?
Yes, and push them from the end and eat them that way.
Holy shit.
It's been a big
it's
week.
Fucking extraordinary. It's extraordinary. I tell you, incidentally... We've never had more, I'm telling you this now, we've never had more reaction to a great interview, which you were very good with him.
Oh, and that's this is shit, Doug.
Dally Messenger.
I gave him COVID.
Last week.
Is he still alive?
But his interview got rave reviews from our listeners. They thought he was fantastic and very interesting person. And I'll give you credit.
How is he?
What?
How is he?
He's on death's doorbed.
Oh, no, he's 85.
Doorstep. Hey?
Oh, he's 85.
Yeah, you've nearly put him
in
the mortuary.
I was only in the car with him for 3 minutes.
But you were sat here opposite him here for an hour.
Yeah, I sat opposite you. You didn't get it.
Well, that's he did get it.
Why don't we? Now, hang on. There's a real question.
Got the flu.
No, I got COVID, Doug.
Flu.
I went to a function.
Got the flu.
Who has?
You did.
Bullshit, I tested.
I got it too.
You got COVID.
Hey?
You got COVID.
They said that. I got the flu. I had a bad flu.
And what did you test? Did you test yourself?
Why would you test? Yeah, we had to because
Anyway, why don't we test? Because we don't get. There's no publicity of this COVID, and I thought everybody would be like me. If there's a function on, you should test before you go in.
No,
to
you
a,
shouldn't.
Why?
Because it's become a.
How many people are dying? I reckon there'd be thousands.
No, I've got the numbers.
Oh, Ivan, good.
All right, 35 people in the last 7 days in all of Australia. So in 7 days, 35 people.
And that could be, as Doug said, a very, very heavy flu. And people with physical impairments and physical uncertainty.
And very few have had pneumonia. They die from pneumonia because they call it COVID.
These are are the puffed up figures the government used to give you about just how dangerous the pandemic was. And that's why
that's
we suffered the most
me.
Disgraceful hunkering down of our civilian lives ever by any government in the world.
I absolutely refused to do anything they said.
You did?
Absolutely. I did everything.
Are you an anti-vaxxer?
Absolutely. No, I'm not. But I'm an anti-mandator.
Yes, a mandator.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, people telling me what I have to do.
Yeah.
And
if Doug stays at home and doesn't fraternise with anyone, goes
I
for walks
go
with
everywhere
his dog.
I do. I got a dog, but I went. I went to every place, and everybody said you can't. I said I'm going in. I'm sorry.
Hey, what could we do, Doug, to help you get your bit of land rezoned?
Hey, moving right along, Don. Yeah, he would grow some bananas on it.
Peter
and then you
Jones
could have clinics
really
on how to actually peel bananas.
Did he
bananas.
Say that? Did he
yeah,
person?
Peter Jones, you know, he goes out surfing, Peter, on a surfboard. And he thinks a lot when he's out the back there waiting for a wave
come. Out in the bombies waiting for the big bombora to come in, Peter.
Can he walk or not now? Is he okay? Well,
he's having trouble. He can't
on a frame.
Walk
he
can't
walk
talk.
On a frame.
Yeah.
But he's got a frame bolted onto his surf ski and he gets out
he's
onto
on a surf ski
oh,
now.
Surfboard, I meant, Don.
Oh, okay.
He keeps caught, apparently.
The big long 15-footers that he rides like those Hawaiian boards back in the 50s. And he has a frame on it.
Oh,
and he
really?
Holds onto the frame, and once he gets going, he can just stand there on the frame. He can actually hang 10 toes over the front of the board.
Really?
If the frame will
the
move.
Frame will move.
If the frame won't slip off the board, he can edge it down to the front.
What's he got it on runners?
No, he lifts it. He just
pulls the frame on rails. No, he's got to go up and down the board.
Like those dolly things that the cameras have on when they want to do close-ups. They slide it along a rail.
I'd love to see him surf. No, do you think he does Bell's Beach as well?
No, Bowen Heads. Where's the nearest beach? That's where he is.
That's only a little shore break at Bowen Heads.
What's it called? Bellbray.
Bellbray, yeah. Oh, no, not Bellbray.
Yeah, Bellbray, isn't it?
No, that's Bell's Beach, yeah. No, but he's in Bowen Heads.
He's in Ocean Grove, isn't he?
No, he's sort of around there, yeah.
Yeah, around there. Anyhow, he's the king down there on the beach, just with the zinc cream on and that
flyaway. Southby's there? Jeff Southby's there?
Yep, Jeff Sav. They chat about old times and the Carlton premierships, Don.
Gee, there'd be a long conversation, wouldn't it?
And the winger? It used to be
a one-sided conversation.
With who? With
Jeff. Jeff's articulate and Percy would chip in every now and again.
Who's the winger? Francis. Who are they?
Francis Burke.
No, if it was Burke.
Francis and Clay. Dick Clay.
Dick Clay, he's over there.
God. You got Huey Mitchell at Leopold.
Louis Mitchell. I kicked 12 on Dick Clay.
12,
yeah.
What, were you on the wing that day?
No, I was full forward.
Well, full forward.
Now, look, tell me what you think of this. There's a legislation thinking of being introduced in America. You can Google this, Ivan, if you like, that large people are now demanding or requesting that when they book in, if they're over a certain size, that they be given two seats on a plane. Not paying extra, just want two seats so that they don't feel embarrassed or suppressed or occluded from people making fun of them because they're overweight. So they've got to weigh themselves, and if they're over a certain weight, they want to be given two seats.
They're plus-size people.
Plus,
not fat. You can't say fat.
No, anymore. They're not. We can't be fattest.
Can't you?
No, no. Oh, no.
No, we're just plus size.
These are people who are particularly fond of food, and they've lost the ability to push the groceries back from the table when they sit down, and it's not their fault. They've probably had a rough childhood, and they've been counselled.
Got short arms.
They've been counselled for, and it's not their fault that they weigh a quarter of a ton. So they want to be able to fly on two seats where everyone else has to just have the one. So that's their thinking of introducing that into the airlines in America, Don. What do you think of that? The porkers getting free seats, men and women alike. Well, you don't even have to signal as a man and a woman. You can just, as long as you're a person. You can weigh as much as a small transit van and you get two seats.
Imagine
check them in with the luggage underneath the plane. Right, and now, Don, we're just bracing ourselves.
Now, listen, I've been watching the races from Ascot, and don't the English do ceremony very, very well? They're just unbeatable. I watched the King Charles come up the straight at Ascot, the opening.
There were
three open carriages, all the livery, the red coats, they're all on.
You're into horses, aren't you?
Well, I'm into the races because they call it the Olympics of racing at Royal Ascot this time of year. There were two Australian horses racing last year. The top hats, I don't think some of those people should wear. You ever seen a bloke who can wear a top hat?
No.
Some of them look shit-ass, don't they? They just kind of put it on like a dunny, which is pulled down and their ears flap out to the side. But they've got to wear these top hats. Some of them look ridiculous, but they're in tails. But, geez, you've got to take it off.
Who? Camel?
Camel who?
Camel. The wife.
Camilla.
Oh, Camilla, is it?
I don't know. What's
Camel? The camel.
Yeah, well, it's a throwaway line, I think.
Camilla was there. She
is
was.
She?
Yeah, she was there. Yeah. She's an equestrian. She's an equestrian.
Is she?
Princess Anne rocked up as well. She was there in one of the. There were three open carriages.
Yes.
And was
Megan there with Harry?
No, they weren't there. No, it was just the elder ones of the royal family. They're really into horses. And the shapes.
They look like horses. Well, I think that's what Doug was alluding to. No, I don't say that. What?
Putting words.
No.
Anyway, it's on television tonight.
Don't put bits into my mouth.
Yeah. Do yourself.
Yeah, eats like a horse, a cube of sugar and a bale of hay every 2 hours. Now this is finally, I'm just reading this out. You think we're on a, we're preoccupied with this, but we just got to kick push back on this stuff. Farmers in Western Australia are furious about sweeping new cultural heritage laws that will require them to pay an Aboriginal consultant up to $160 an hour to obtain permits to do anything on their land.
I thought there was
it's
a farmer.
It's happening now.
Yep.
There's a farmer over there. Yep. He's got to get permission, I think, to use some of his land.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to pay $160 an hour for someone to come and dig down to see if there's no bones.
They're doing that in Drysdale at the right this moment. They're doing
Drysdale.
Yeah, Drysdale
in Geelong.
We had lunch. Liz and I had a lunch with a guy, and he's got a big block of land, and he's trying to subdivide it up. And they said no, we've got to get one of those Perfield.
Yep.
Well, you're telling, Sam.
Yes.
And it's $160 an hour, and there's three of them, and they've got to dig it up.
Dig it the whole lot.
Well, they've got to sort through, sift it through.
Do they dig it or they subcontract it out?
I think he helps them.
Oh, okay.
So he gets them, yeah.
Guess his hand's dirty.
You'll incorporate that into the sale of your property, will you?
Hey?
You'll incorporate that into the sale of your property.
We'll give it.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're, this is a shorter one because we're going to now prepare. Anything else, Doug, you'd like to bring up?
No,
we've got
I didn't.
Dennis and Nola and Liz in, and Dennis is a great listener, and he's got one of our caps on. Don signed it. We didn't want to do MichaelChristianMenswear.com out of business. But
Michael Christensen. Oh, not the AFL.
No, his name's Michael Christian as well. It's not Christensen.
Not him?
No, it's not Christensen.
I was going to say, talk to him about he's both some there, of the things
both
that
have
he's
the same name.
Do, is it?
Yeah, both Michael Christian, Don.
Right.
Onward Christian Soldiers.
Oh, right.
Marching as to War.
We used to sing that.
We did, marching.
At Sunday school or church? I went to Sunday school.
Behold the mountain of the world in latter days could rise.
What were your sales meetings like?
Hey?
Sales meetings.
We gather around, people. Doug's going to just give you a brief. Stop
I sang,
that.
I sang
Don,
that.
You're shaking the shit out of the computer.
That. I sang that.
What on with Christian soldiers?
No.
Doug,
hold them out
before our sales meeting.
The latter day sales.
What do we.
Oh, shit. Do you know you
Dom.
Belting the fucking table turned on the music to play the show that we'd ended? You started that, Don, by belting the
what
table.
What was this at the Horsham Presbyterian Methodist or Church of England?
Portland Methodist.
Oh, Portland Methodist.
Methodist, yes.
I thought that was all made up of Lutherans down through there.
Our sales meetings.
It was near the silo at Portland.
No,
our sales meetings used to start. Doug used to walk into the office and say, gather around everyone, and they'd say, all hold hands, see if we can contact the living. And we'd all hold hands, and then Doug would give a short prayer and welcome the Lord into our midst. And then we would, because he was a religious man in those days. And, he's a little bit religious. And then we would all just rush out into the community trying to sell stuff, and we'd come back. Our first person that we put on sold a packet of bobby pins.
Fringe pins.
Some fringe pins. If you know what fringe pins are, they're $2. They're $2 a million. Bloke came back and said, I said, did you make a sale? And Doug said, yes, he made a sale.
No, David Frayne.
David Frayne. He said, David, what was your first sale? He said, I sold a packet of bobby pins. Bobby pins, they were $1.50. And it cost him $25 in the truck to go out there, and it cost us $50 in postage. My old man came in the next day and he said, just send people a cheque, don't bother leaving the office.
Listen, which of you two employed Mick Grapsis as your warehouse manager?
No, we did.
He was good.
He was good, Mick.
He looks like Marty Feldman. He's a knockoff of Marty Feldman.
And he had great tact with the customers. They'd ring up and they'd
tell
say,
him he'd get fucked.
Not quite. They'd ring up and they'd say, look, we haven't received our order. Do you think you could check? He'd say, well, who are you? And they'd say, pardon? He said, what's your name? And they'd say, well, my name's Frank Swanson. He said, just a minute. And he'd come back and he said, where do you live? I said, Mick, tone, please. Tone. We're trying to fucking sell something here. So that's the day we went to that little place near Horsham. I can't think.
Hayward.
Hayward. We pull in. I'd been giving Mick. This is absolutely gospel. Absolutely gospel. On my kid's life. Mind you, I'm not that fond of it. But on my kid's life. We drive in the car and I said, Mick, please have some tact. Try and be a salesman. And unbeknownst to me, he knew, probably knew the woman. I don't know. But we pull in and and I said, now get out and go in and say, we got some specials and this is how we do it and we can express post them up. So he gets in, we pull up outside her door and he goes, meh, on the horn. I said, Mick, he said, just a minute. She came to the door, he said, hey, you want anything? She said, no, pretty right today, thanks, Mick. Yeah, righto, hooray.
You know he's selling wood in Geelong now, Mick.
I'm sitting in the passenger seat of the car. I just threw my hands in the air, said, Mick, I'll leave it to you, mate. See if you can sell something for the trip. I just sat in the back. Read a book.
He was a smoker. And Sam had taped his cigarettes to the outside of his
car. I put him under the windscreen. I said, don't smoke in the car, Mick. I don't smoke in the car. And he said, get fucked. And I said, don't smoke in the car, I'm telling you. So when he went in, he actually got out to go in and see someone and make a call. So I put the Marlboro out under the windscreen wipers so it looked as though it was on the dashboard. And I'm sitting there pretending not to look at him. And I could, out of the corner of my eye, I could see him looking over to see if I was looking. And when he thought I wasn't looking, he jabbed his hand out to try and snatch the cigarettes. And then he broke his knuckles. He broke his knuckles on the windscreen. He said, "You fucking idiot!" I said, and he pulled the case out. I don't give a fuck. And he got out. He had a fag. Sat over on a stump and had a fag. And got back in. Seriously.
How do you think he's going in the wood yard?
I tell you how
he's
we're going.
Much wood down in Geelong.
We're winding this up now because we've got to speak to this man. So, Doug.
Yes.
What a joy. Sam. And Ivan and everyone.
Ivan. Yep.
Sorry about that, bit late with the music, got flustered.
I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.